Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 18 of the Fundamentally Sound podcast. After we had the guest host last week, shout out to our guy, Sam Vecini, for filling in with Ben. Ben's back. Riggs, as always. Ben, what's going on, man?
Yeah, Sam was nice enough to fill in. He did a good job of listening to you guys.
Yeah, I mean, we've done, like, I've probably done 8 to 10 podcasts with Sam.
Yeah, he just loves talking basketball.
He really does.
He just loves it. Absolutely loves it. And that's like the kind of guy that I feel like you totally latch onto, because you guys are just junkies in every way imaginable.
Yeah, well, it's one of those, like, we watch all three levels, too.
Mm-hmm. So, watch, like, the AAU coming up.
Right.
You watch, like, college, and you watch NBA.
Right. So it's easy to talk to someone like that, where it's you can separate college success to NBA, which is always the toughest thing. We talked about that before, about how you see, you know, or you expect a guy like Caleb Swanigan, for instance. Mm-hmm. Why did he go so far down in the draft? He was a consensus All-American.
Dominant, yeah.
Right. And it's like, well, it's two different games.
It is two different games.
Right, and a lot of people seem to – not a lot of people. People do seem to struggle with separating the two.
The casual fan's going to be like, he scored 23 a game in college. How come he can't get 8 points a game in the NBA?
Yeah, like he averaged a double-double in college. He could easily go get 8 and 8 in the NBA, right? And it's like, well –
What was the pace of play?
Right.
You know, what was his efficiencies? What kind of players were guarding him?
What system was he in?
Exactly. There's so much more that goes into it that I'm glad I'm not like a GM or a draft expert, because – I don't. I get sucked into a little bit of, hey, if he can do it here, I think he can do it anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to get sucked into that, but at the same time, it's like I've gotten used to watching players' games on an individual level combined with the team level, which has really helped in terms of, like, okay, evaluating them for the NBA. Like, that's what I've done. It's like, I would say I watch games, but I'll go back and watch, you know, on, like, Synergy or something like that. I'll go back and rewatch a game and just watch a player both on and off the ball. Okay, how's he moving? Everything like that. So that's the biggest thing to do is watch individual players. If you want to get into scouting, if you want to get into draft evaluation, watch a player, you know, watch the game and then go back and watch an individual player. So if you want to scout Caleb Swanigan, go just watch him, you know, on replay, including how he moves off the ball, where he is in defensive schemes, everything like that. I mean, it's a lot of in-depth work.
This is where I just sit here and just look at you.
But it should be – like, you should be used to this. Like, I feel like
– No, I know, but it's different when you're, like, on a team and you're scouting players that you're watching. Like, you can just watch anybody. It's insane to me.
But, man, I've been, like, doing this since, like, high school too, though. Like, when I
– But, like, what was the moment where you were, like, – hey, I just love everything basketball, like watching players, every league, every big event?
I think when I was like 10. Like,
but like, what was that it moment? Did you have an it moment?
No, I've just always been this way. Like, it's just always been this way. It makes no sense. Like, there's no it moment. It was just always.
It's just kind of in your
all
DNA.
I ever did was, like, watch basketball, play basketball, and then train
for
basketball.
I did too. Yeah, I mean, that was my whole life, but part of me just, like, looked at it as in-depth as –
You know what the like, moment was for me? I think I was, like, 8, and I knew I wasn't going to play in the NBA. So it's, like
– That is some big-time realization for a young man.
Right. Like, I learned pretty quickly. I was, like, I'm not going to play in the NBA. So, you know, in school, everyone would fill out, like, what's their dream job, and every guy would have firefighter, astronaut, president. My dumbass put – I think I put NBA basketball coach in, like, first grade. And everyone was like, well, don't you want to be a player? I was like, I'm not going to play in the NBA, so I'm just going to coach. And it was like,
the teacher's probably, like, called your parents, be like, is there issues with his self-esteem and his ability to dream big?
Well, except, like, I never lacked self-esteem. Like, I was never super cocky or anything like that. But it was always just like, all right, I'm pretty realistic that I'm not going to play in the NBA. And I was just like, all right, so what's the next best option? All right, let's just coach. So even, like, in high school, I would get tapes for scouting and whatnot, you know, for our high school team. And I do the same thing. I would just – if I knew I was going to guard you, I would watch your moves.
And I would still eat your ass.
Nah, I was a really good defender. I was.
How tall are you?
5'9".
5'9"?
And I guarded dudes a lot taller than you.
I'm sure you did. I mean, in college, I guarded all 6'7" guys, but it's a little different in high school.
Oh, I would have been fine. Again, I would have been fine. My high school self, I would have been fine.
This is like a wish list in my second life.
Yeah, like it's. I think when you come out for the Queen City show, I might have to like have my parents like send me an old game film so you can actually see me. 14 years ago now?
Give me a college and NBA comparison.
They
don't have to be 5'9". Just give me
Right. Like I mimicked my game a lot. I tried. I shouldn't say I mimicked. I tried to mimic my game a lot, like Jason Kidd. Where it was, I was a pass first point guard, defensive minded. I played a lot taller than my size. Like I averaged, I think my senior averaged like 6.5 rebounds a game. So it was
I can respect that.
Yeah,
I mean,
like I loved playing in the post. I preferred to play in the post because we would switch everything defensively, and then it was front help side, front post with help side, you know, in the back. Everything one pass away, you're in the passing lane. Two passes away, you're helping.
So you should be jealous that Jason Kidd was giving me coaching tips at summer league practice.
Yeah, exactly. So I would say I'm trying to think like who else I kind of
give me another one because I mean that
myself after. I mean that's just like obviously like who you know that, your
that's
kid
like a, like, that's like picking like an all-star.
Right,
like,
right. I'm saying who I tried to mimic my game after. Man, I don't know. That is you know what? Recent day who kind of my game was similar to is like Isaiah Briscoe.
Okay.
Like I was not a shooter.
Not as athletic.
Right. Not a shooter, but.
But the type of player and role that he plays on a team.
Yep. Like I could guard multiple positions. I mean, I'm more of a predominant point guard than he was at Kentucky. But it was played a lot bigger than size. Not gonna kill you on the offensive side, but can just kind of fit into any system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So ever since that moment, like I just always watched games.
So I growing up was like a Duke fan and JJ Redick.
Of course you were.
Of course I was.
You like
I wore the Eat Sleep Duke. And Watch Duke basketball t-shirt.
Of course you did. You're the worst.
I know. I'm that kid. And I mimicked after JJ Redick and then as I went into high school, I told you this, like Steph Curry, got to meet him. Well, he was at Davidson. They were like my first Division I offer and they wanted me to play that role. So like I did mimic my game after him and what he was doing. But quite honestly, ironically today, I'd say the best of my game would be kind of be like a Seth Curry type game.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he doesn't have the handles like Steph because I don't have handles like that.
Right. Like you want to run off the screen, catch and shoot.
Yeah. And still like go off the dribble a little bit. But
right. But you don't
want to
take it.
I can't finish like Steph can around the rim. That's an underrated aspect of his game is the ability to change hands and finish with floaters
and
or kind of
crafty,
dipsy doing. Yeah. Like very underrated aspect that
and
he
it's
doesn't
tough,
get
man. Like I'm sure you know, like learning to shoot that floater is tough. Like I had to
it's
learn
so
at a young
hard,
age being
dude.
Short. Just being so short, I had to learn at a young age, okay, in order to get it over this large man in front of me, I have to put it above his arms.
So I used
it's
to have a
easy.
Really – I had the meanest floater in the world as a middle schooler. I lost my floater in college because, like, the game speed changes.
Yep.
And you got to get it over taller guys.
Right, and more athletic.
So I had to adjust to the speed, and I had to adjust to getting it higher with more touch. But going faster than I was going before, so I ended up just going with a jump stop turnaround like from like 8 feet instead of just trying to float it, and it worked. I figured it out.
I loved the runner, like the runner slash floater. Maybe 2-3 steps inside the free throw line, just kind of like the
1-footed pop. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Like the Steve Nash type.
I'm watching you do that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so like everyone's like, how do you know what he's doing? Yeah, I'm seeing him. This
but it's one
floater.
Of those like,
you're lefty though, right?
I am, which that's a whole nother wrinkle too, which was nice for me because, I mean, most people, even at the collegiate level, most people aren't comfortable not comfortable, that's probably the wrong word, but their instinct isn't to defend a lefty.
This is why I love the Fundamentally Sound podcast. We spend 15 minutes talking about, you know, social media plans for like the sponsor and the plan for the show, and it turned in the first 10 minutes is us to relive what we could do and not do.
Right. And then just talk about how awesome a
white guy limitations.
It really is. But
what could we do that others can just do better than us?
I know. It's but if like in today's game, if your guard and have that floater or runner, that's a huge weapon in your arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's, I mean, that's part of the reason why Steph Curry is so good. It's just those crafty finishes.
Gosh, like I just had a little bit of a mind flash, like just thinking of Steph Curry and how he finishes, and I'm thinking of like a dipsy do left hand. I'm thinking of getting quick with the right hand to the rim, and I'm also seeing him do a floater. He literally can score in every possible way.
Still, no one was better than Steve Nash as a guard for crafty.
That one footed leaning like
off the
like
wrong
little jumper
off the wrong foot layups
wrong
all the time.
Foot. Fading the wrong way.
He
pure.
Was. I mean, he was one of my all-time favorite players. When you ask like who I tend to mimic my game after passing wise, I wanted to be Steve Nash.
Yeah, he's just way too smooth and flashy.
Right, but
you.
Like that was like I was like, okay, how can I learn to throw a bounce pass like this?
You in the pass. You in the bounce pass.
Yeah, well, it's an awesome pass. But he's to me, he might be better than Steph at those kind of crafty finishes around the rim or in the paint.
Probably because he's even shorter too, which makes it even more impressive.
Yeah, and like Steph's pretty athletic. I don't want to say he's pretty athletic comparative to NBA guards. He's not.
No,
but
he's
he
not.
Is athletic, right?
Yeah, like in the All-Star game, he's catching lobs.
Right,
like, you have to be athletic to catch lobs.
Like Steve Nash wasn't doing that.
No, he probably can't even do the lay it in, grab the rim dunk.
No, probably not. But, man, those – I remember the first time I saw him pull off that wrong-footed layup, and I was just like, wait a minute. What the hell was that play? And then, like, he kept doing it.
Yeah. Was that on purpose? And
right,
then
like,
3 plays later does it again. Is he messing with me?
Right. Like, is he just – does he forget what side of the rim he's on? But, yeah, man, that's awesome. So
– that's kind of how you create new stuff, though. It's just do weird things. Like – you know, like the James Harden, like step over, step back thing. Like when he, it's
oh yeah,
it's
yeah.
Same side, it's like a same side step back
yep,
almost.
Yep.
That thing is so weird, but like he created that, and now like all the NBA trainers are like in their videos on Instagram are trying to teach them that move.
Here's two questions for you that we did not plan on.
Okay.
What play do you wish happened during the Twitter during today where Twitter and social media, and what player of our era, I'm not asking, you know, for like Wilt or somebody like that, of our era, what player do you wish played in the Twitter world?
In like, okay,
like
in
yeah.
college today, like that is like in the NBA now maybe
either,
or even
either, yeah,
further
either.
Back.
Yep.
What play? And then
what
I mean
player?
I think the Leitner shot would have been nuts.
That would have been a good one.
On Twitter. Like that would have been really fun to follow. We can do more than one. Just start throwing some out there.
Yeah, especially because Duke, Kentucky, Elite Eight.
Blue Bloods.
Yep.
Everyone would be locked in.
The Tyus Edney coast-to-coast in the NCAA tournament against Missouri.
What about the NC State? National
yeah, I'm trying to say
Japan.
More – like our like we weren't alive for NC State. That was 83.
Okay. All
so
right.
I'm trying to think enough. More like okay. Our,
I'm thinking,
our generation.
I'm thinking the Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, because that was right when Twitter started really booming.
Yeah. Chalmers.
Chalmers. For me, my personal favorite play ever, Randolph Childress crossing up Jeff McInnes in the ACC tournament and giving him the come up when he fell down and drilled a three.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that play, I mean, that would be the GIFs and the Twitter videos of that with captions would be unreal.
I'm trying to think now about players. I think coming up, like, through, like, the Instagram and all that.
I mean, Iverson's a popular pick.
I think Vince Carter would have been really unique.
Imagine those Carter dunk contests.
That's what I'm saying, the dunks and all that. Yeah, like, yeah. Could you imagine Vince Carter doing the drive-by dunk challenge?
Oh, God. He'd break a rim.
He would. I mean, you obviously saw the kid who broke the rim off the house,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But Vince Carter would actually, like, break a, like, basket.
Right.
A whole hoop.
Carter's a good one. Iverson, a lot of people will say, obviously. I'd throw Tracy McGrady in there. Him and Grant Hill, two guys that, you know, kind of derailed a little bit by injuries, but they were so fucking good.
I like, it's so weird to me, and I'm going back now to Michael Jordan, as we've talked about, like.
Yeah, obviously taking Jordan.
I wish I was is at least 20 to 30 years old when that happened, and like 30 to 40, like when LeBron happened. So I could have somewhat of a comparison, just to say that I saw it and like watch stuff, because I hate how it's just like he was untouchable and he was the GOAT and he's this and that. But yeah. To me, still, I want to see if he would have got the same criticism that everyone gets today with social media and how it's all about page hits and.
Well, he absolutely would have. He didn't win a playoff game for how many? Like he or not? A
yeah.
Playoff game. He didn't
like all these
the
like
for how many
bait
years.
Shows like First Take and Undisputed.
Yeah.
What
oh,
would they
can't
say
build
about
Jordan.
Michael? Can't do it.
Can't build around
then
Jordan.
Then he quits for baseball.
That would be an all-time social media moment when Jordan announced he was going to play baseball.
Gosh, this is fun but sad because I want to live in the world where it all happened.
Right, right. I mean, it'd be awesome, but at the same time, it's kind of cool like that it didn't happen because I do remember those days.
And but, this is why, like, this is what makes it possible for even – I'm going to shout out myself. Shout out myself for, like, a social media tweet last night. I was drunk in my buddy's basement watching Cub Sox, and I saw this kid get nailed by a foul ball. And I just tweeted out the video, and next thing I know, it's like, boom, gone. Like, that is what I love, that everyone can get behind, like, quote tweeting and then saying, bruh, or one of my favorites was this black guy tweeted something that I can't say, but I was laughing my ass off.
Black Twitter is the best.
Black Twitter is the best Twitter ever. I love it.
It's the best.
It's the best. And I actually don't follow, like, the mainstream Instagram accounts. So there's House of Highlights. There's Daquan, there's like No Chill, World Star. I don't follow any of those.
Right.
Because I don't want to see him during the day. I literally get a like thrill laying down for bed and just going through each of them and seeing what I missed for the day and just getting a good laugh. I suggest doing that, people.
See, I'm a TV on in bed person.
Used to be. Now I'm just computer next to me with Netflix.
Kind of hard with a wife next to you.
That's true. Do you not roll over the computer, Gabe?
Kind of hard to be like, get in the bed and immediately just like lay on my phone as I've been on my phone all day anyways.
Yeah. Married problems.
Even though I was always scared to put a computer in my bed, like when I would fall asleep or whatever, because I roll around all the time.
I wake up in the middle of the night because I hear a thud and I'm like, it's just the computer.
See, I've been a TV, like I got a TV in my bedroom when I was like 7. One of the old where I only had like the original, like the cable.
You have to get up and turn it on and off with the knobs.
Not the knobs, but I had, you know, I think I only had
2, 5
channels
and 7
or something like that. Yeah. But I got Monday Night Football, which was why I wanted it. Yeah. So that's a good question. I think we'll have to put that on Twitter. Shout out our new social guy, by the way, Matt.
Ola.
Matt Ola. Yeah. You'll see him on Twitter. He's running our social stuff. He's an awesome guy. Follow him. Follow the show if you don't already. We'll put out that question, though, of what player and what play, singular, do you most wish happened in the Twitter?
In the social media era that we're in.
And again, remember,
where would you say the social media era started? Like, I'm going to say like
2012.
2012, exactly. 2012 to present day. It was – I had it since 2010, but it was more like there was no interaction.
You know, I know the day I got Twitter. I got – the day that the Packers beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl was the day I first got Twitter.
Oh, so that was in 2011.
Yep.
2011, February.
Was it 11 of February? Yeah.
I was my freshman year. Obviously, I know where know where I was when the Packers won the Super Bowl when you go to school in Wisconsin.
I actually know where I was, too.
I got Twitter in 2010. 2009. No, 2009. I got Twitter in 2009, junior year of high school, going into senior year. I was in Orlando for the AAU showcase, and my teammates and I were making fun of it. And I got it, and I still have the same account ever since.
Man, see, you don't remember – you don't know the days. You don't – not remember. You don't even know the days of Facebook when you could only sign up with a college email address.
Yeah, no.
Right. So I remember I got my college email address, I want to say, like, fairly early in the summer, you know, June, July or something like that, maybe even earlier than that. So you hopped on, you know, sign on Facebook. And the first thing you do is you could look, like, you could search by, like, dorms back in the day. And the first thing I did was to see, because I lived in a co-ed dorm, what girls are in my dorm.
That a baby? Slide into the DMs early in life.
That's the first thing I did. And then it was, okay, I mean, what classes?
Isn't that kind of the premise of, like, what's the movie, the Social Network? Like, isn't that what they all use it for, too?
Like, I mean, it was honestly a great tool when I had it. Like, I still have it, but when I first signed up for it, like, I went to college knowing nobody. So I was able to, like, you could search, like, you know, guys that played basketball that, like, lived in your dorm or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it was, like, a great, like, introductory type tool. I mean, it's so different now. But I kind of miss the days where, like, you
Bobby
only...
Regan sliding in your DMs via 1999, no, like 2005 or something.
2005.
The DM originator.
It's man, social media though. Yeah, so that's a good question. So we'll definitely put that out on Twitter. Of
yeah, I like that question.
Singular person think, from the time you know we're talking like mid 90s to you know, like. Mid-2000s, I'd say.
I think we're going to get some good responses because we're probably – you know, people all have their favorite guys that they had growing up.
Yep.
And I think we'll get some good ones here.
I completely agree.
So, I would have loved
– speaking of social media, we got to get into it.
Get into what?
LaMelo-verse.
Yeah, but time out. We skipped one of, like, the earliest parts of the show.
We did.
Pipe down. Number 18, episode 18.
It is. One of the worst numbers for basketball.
I think we were just finding out that 16 through 19 suck.
I mean, like 26 is going to be fucking terrible.
It won't be as bad as you think.
I mean, those numbers suck. Like 26 is a terrible number. 29 is a terrible number.
Yeah, for basketball. It's weird. It's weird. I just like doing this exercise, I thought I would have like seen more people with these numbers, but there's really slim pickings.
It really is. So 18, so you start, there's not a lot. Start. I'm going to go with I was debating before the show, and I think I'm going to shout out he only played – you know what? I'm going to –
just spit it out.
I know.
Spit out
I know. I think I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna go with Sasha Vujacic.
that was so bad,
it
dude.
Was so
Sasha
bad.
Vujacic.
Yeah, I know.
Vujacic,
who is arguably my least favorite player ever to play for the Knicks.
He's got good hair, though.
He's got great hair.
Got good hair. Who were you debating between?
Like. What Miles Plumlee's were 18. Beno Udra. I mean, there's just some shitty people that wore number 18. Dave Cowens.
Speaking of shitty that Reeves doesn't like, my favorite number 18, because he did bring six championships to the great city of Chicago, Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson.
The worst.
Number 18.
The worst. He's a bum in every living sense.
You know, we could do this, but I don't. I quite honestly, I just don't even want to hear it because it doesn't even matter anymore.
No,
he's gone.
Gone.
He's out of your life.
He's not completely out of my life because he's ruined half my life, but he's gone.
Well, that's on you.
Yeah, no, I never should have. Never should have been a Knicks fan.
Well, yeah, that's on you.
It's really on my dad. Really on my dad for being a Knicks fan and letting me be a Knicks fan.
Well, your dad's coming here this weekend, so why don't you just smack him in the face?
I know. I mean, he did purposely not make me be a Mets fan.
That's a good dad.
And I chose the Orioles. So it's not like I've seen a lot of success.
Oh, you got a good Cal. You're probably a Cal Ripken guy.
Brady Anderson was my dude. Is my dude. I love Brady Anderson.
Yeah, you're kind of like, you're lucky that you have Kentucky, but you seem to navigate towards shittiness.
I mean, I've seen three Super Bowls in my lifetime.
You just went haywire in the basement there. You there? You got me?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Oh, cool. Yeah, you have seen some Super Bowls.
I've seen three Super Bowls at four appearances. So I've been fine with the Giants. The Orioles, I mean, it's been fun the last couple of years. It was fun in the 90s. There was just no World Series title. I mean, Kentucky's obviously been pretty nice. But
so
then there's the Knicks.
For the sake of my ears and our very good listeners, the fundamentalists, I'm going to hang up and call back, all right?
All right, we're back because apparently my man cave was sending Ben jealousy signals and things were going haywire. So if there's a little delay, that's what that is. We're merging the two different files to make the podcast.
Shout out to Tommy again because we did this before last time and he made it flow really well.
Yeah, I think like we'll last time we sent him like three. I think with Rick, we sent him three different files. They had to
put yeah, one of our favorite episodes. Just
that was
like
a great episode. Rick Carter's an awesome guy.
When you come to Chicago, we'll have to grab him so you can meet him and see how crazy he is even in person.
I can't imagine.
Segway time.
We got to get into – there's two main topics we need to talk about today. The first one is – all speaking of NBA championships, all the stuff with Kyrie, he demanding a trade, or he not demanding is the wrong word, but he prefers a trade. He
unfollowed LeBron on Instagram.
Listed teams that he wants to go to, which makes no sense because he doesn't have a no trade clause, and he most recently today, like the Cavs just can't get in touch with him.
So I'm really interested in your take on this because I have a take for sure. But I want you to go first.
I can understand why he wants out of Cleveland for a couple reasons. One, Dan Gilbert's a disaster. We don't know what's going on with the front office and behind the scenes and all that stuff. Two, LeBron might be leaving after this year. I still think he comes back to Cleveland, but, you know, maybe Kyrie knows something we don't know. And three, I'll give him a little bit of credit. He wants to go be the guy, you know, people, that's the one problem with today's age. People love, like, there's no right way in the NBA anymore. Either you leave for another team to, you know, like you pull the Durant or something like that, where you join the better team and you're a sellout and you can't win on your own, or you're Kyrie and you leave LeBron to go be your own man. And it's, well, you don't want to win. Well, you can't yell at both sides.
Dude, you are spot on. Finally, I like a take.
I don't care about either one. Like, I'm fine. Whatever someone wants to do, they're fine. Like, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. So first things first, I have a weird feeling that there's just something we don't know. You don't say all the things that they've said about each other in the media. You know, act like he's like a little brother to you. All that stuff, it just doesn't go south like that quick unless something happened between the two of them.
Yeah, or
I don't know what it is, but something happened between those two, and that's why I think we're missing a piece of the puzzle. Number two is I'm totally with Richard Jefferson. His comments were spot on. The guy was drafted after LeBron left, played for three different head coaches.
Yeah.
They got different GMs. The owner's a nut job and can't hold LeBron, and they're fighting, and LeBron runs the team, and they can't even get Chauncey Billups to agree. Like, it's literally just been a nightmare. who wouldn't blame the guy for wanting to go somewhere to be the guy when he does? He's already got an NBA championship.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean?
He's been an all-star.
He's going to be forever an NBA champion. Right. So what does he have to lose to go somewhere to get a max contract after this year and try and be the guy? I respect the heck out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with either way. Like, I don't care if he wants to get traded from Cleveland to go to wherever. I mean, here's the thing. He's probably going to get traded to somebody who's at least a decent team.
Yes, because you're going to need – you got to be a decent team to have good enough assets to get a Kyrie.
Right. Like, the worst team he's going to get traded to might be, like, Phoenix. And I mean, it all depends what Phoenix gives up. But, okay, now you have a backcourt with him and Devin Booker for the next couple of years.
Not a bad deal.
Not a bad deal at all. But it's, yeah, one of those, like, I get bothered, or I should say, I hate how people get mad at any decision.
Yeah, so I'm totally with you there. Like, I think it's the worst thing in the world that, like, I always go to social media, and I want to hear from our listeners if they all see what I see too, or if you see this. Like, there's all these videos of people making fun of, like, Durant, now Gordon Hayward even. They go to the 2K score for loyalty and they take it to zero.
Right.
Give me a freaking break, dude.
Especially you when, guys,
if you guys
contract.
Were in that position, what would you do?
Right. Especially when it's a free agent. Like, hey, you played out your contract. Like, you can go do whatever you want to do. Like,
I don't care if it's even Kyrie.
Right. I mean, I think it's a little different if you're like, I demand a trade versus, again, I say a little different versus playing out your contract and then just going where you want to go. Because mm-hmm. what – and it's not fair to correlate real life to, like, NBA life. What person wouldn't leave their job for a better job?
No, I think it's exactly correlates. I don't care what the – like
– Right. I mean, it's an easy comparison, but it's also not this – I mean, it's not nearly the same. But, again, if you're a professional basketball player, that's your job, why wouldn't you leave – a spot for a better job. Kevin Durant left. He's getting paid a ton of money, and he won a title. Who cares how he won it?
He made the right decision.
I agree.
Hands down.
I agree. He played his time out in Oklahoma City. He realized, you know, I'm not going to win in Oklahoma City.
You know, no matter what happens to Kyrie, he made the right decision.
Yep. Either way. Like, I still think he ends up in Cleveland to start the season.
Yeah, Cleveland doesn't have to move until the time is right.
No, nor should they. Like, Cleveland should just take every call.
It's just going to be really weird, though. But here's the thing. They could suck and still win games and make the playoffs, and they will.
They don't care about the regular season. There's no reason to.
Why is Jordan Taylor Snapchat video calling me? Why don't you just FaceTime me, dude?
I didn't even know that you could Snapchat video call someone. I don't know. But I agree that
Kyrie,
you have to.
Can't blame him.
Right, right.
Kevin Durant, can't blame him. No. Gordon Hayward, can't blame him. Anyone who leaves, it's not because they're not loyal. They're making the best decision for themselves that they think is best. It may not make sense for your fan base, but you would do the exact same thing too.
Yeah, I don't know who wouldn't. Like, again, I wouldn't know who wouldn't go play for the Warriors. Everyone wants to go play for Golden State.
JaVale McGee signed back already. Did you see that?
Yeah, yes. I mean, Andre Iguodala took less money to come back.
It's a case-by-case basis. It's always a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just – again, it's weird because Kyrie is one of those players that I feel like nobody can judge accurately either.
Why is that?
Because people are either like – they either – I shouldn't say everybody. Most people either way overrate him or way underrate him. And it's like,
what would you put him at in terms of point guards?
I think he's 8th or 9th.
You think he's 8th or 9th?
I have him behind Wall, Westbrook, Harden, Curry, Paul, Conley. I'd probably put Conley above him and then Kyrie, so 7.
Wow. I'm going to put Russell above him for sure. Steph above him for sure.
Harden.
I don't consider Harden a point guard.
I mean, he.
I don't consider James Harden a point guard. who would I say? It's Steph, Russell. Like,
I don't know how you consider Kyrie a point guard and not Harden. Harden's a better passer than Kyrie, and a better scorer.
I don't know. I guess it's a stigma for me. You know what I mean? Kyrie's 6'2", and James Harden's 6'6". Came up as a shooting guard, now in the league as point guard. You know what I mean? He's still just like a scoring two guard that can pass,
I mean,
in my opinion.
To me, Harden's a point.
He's a scoring two guard that can pass.
I mean,
that's
Chris,
what he is.
I'd still take Chris Paul over James Harden, or over
I wouldn't. Kyrie.
I see. I think people are – I think Chris Paul is now the most underrated player in the NBA. Chris Paul is so, so good.
I don't know how to say this without making Chris Paul not sound bad, but Kyrie is better. He's younger. You got to think that.
We're not talking who you're building a team with.
I'm not talking about building a team either. But I'm saying he's younger and he's got like – he's not – Chris Paul is not what Kyrie is anymore. Kyrie's 26 years old in the prime of his athletic – Maybe 4 years ago he was, but he's not anymore.
I would still take Chris Paul.
No. Another Twitter poll. Kyrie or Chris Paul?
Yeah, I would still take Chris Paul.
Fundamentalist, back me up. Reeves is crazy.
No,
stupid.
No way.
So, Twitter polls of the week. Matt, pay attention. Don't screw it up.
Would you put Conley over him?
Nope. No way.
I think that's an interesting.
And Mike Conley was one of my favorite players ever to watch in high school.
Yeah, I would take Conley, I mean, just over him.
Why? Because he can pass better?
I mean, he's just a better overall player. Conley can score. Conley can defend. You got to remember how bad Kyrie is defensively.
He's a defense. Yeah, he's so bad.
Like, everyone else outside of Harden. Even Harden's a better defender than Kyrie. Everyone else we listed isn't a defensive liability.
Harden's actually not a terrible defender.
Right.
He just has ADHD and looks up into the rafters. Right. And.
But like Chris Paul, excellent defender. Mike Conley, excellent defender. Who else do we list? Steph Curry.
Russell Westbrook.
And Russell Westbrook, better defender than Kyrie. Not great defender, but just better than Kyrie. And just better overall than him.
Yeah, so I want to go with
that. And John Wall. And you would take Wall over him too, right?
I would take John Wall over Kyrie.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's not even – I remember that was a debate a couple years ago. I think now everyone agrees Wall is better than Kyrie.
I would take John Wall over Kyrie.
Here's a question for you. Is John Wall the second best player in the East?
LeBron –
It's really a debate between two people.
Who do you think it is? Because I'm gonna say someone. I want to see if it's the same person as you.
Giannis? Yeah.
Man, I could make an argument for DeRozan almost.
No. I think Lowry's better than DeRozan.
Really?
Yep.
I'm not a big Kyle Lowry fan.
DeRozan
doesn't
really do anything besides like mid-range jumpers. Like he's a good scorer, but just like he's not a good three-point shooter. He's not a good passer. He's not a good defender. He's kind of like a net nothing. I mean, I say that.
I would still take
bad, but
yeah, I know what you mean. But I would still take John Wall today over Giannis, just because of Giannis's inability to shoot
right
now.
That's really the debate is who's the. To me, it's those two of who you're debating of who's the second best player in the East.
Isaiah Thomas in the like at
such
times
a, again such
no
a
listen listen
liability.
Listen, no, I'm just saying at times he plays like the third or fourth best player in the East.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as high on him as some others, but.
I mean, trust me, I watched him get switched on to people on the Bulls and they ate him up.
Right. Now here's
live in
Gordon,
person.
Where does Gordon Hayward fall? I'd probably put him three.
I'm gonna hold off on my Gordon Hayward evaluations because – I'm not going to lie, I never saw Gordon Hayward play a lot after college, just because he's been in the West Side,
West Coast. I'd put him three. I still think Wall is just a little bit better than him.
Okay. I'm going to save my judgment on that for later. But now I want to switch into more of the AAU buzz, because it's AAU season.
And social media. I mean, these are the biggest social media.
We got to stick with the theme of social media today. Right. LaMelo Ball.
Featuring LeVar
versus Zion.
Zion's a fucking man. He's a fucking man. Like, when you look at him. Now, granted, he's a year older than LaMelo. Like, LaMelo's class of 2019. Williamson's class of 2018. Like, when you watch them next to each other, they couldn't look more like grown man versus high school kid.
Like, I think Zion literally could eat him in one bite.
Yeah, and then dunk him through a hoop.
Roll him up into a ball. Like Space Jam. Yeah. How they roll Michael up into the ball and dunk him. That's what Zion would do to LaMelo.
Zion. I mean, he...
So first off,
this is
where
social media is wrong.
Yeah, start there.
Because both of these players now have become, I think, wildly underrated. I'll start with Zion. Everyone sees his dunking, and they just go, well, he's just a dunker. And it's like, no, the dude can actually play basketball. Like, yeah, he's not a great shooter, but defensively, he knows where to be. He can jump passing lanes. He understands schemes. Offensively, you know, when he attacks, with a reason. Like, he's not just dribbling around or looking to catch a lob. Like, he catches it, makes a move, goes to the rim.
Block shots, rebounds.
Good rebounder. Right. Like, he's a
– he's a complete
shooting,
he's a complete player. Like,
a complete
good,
player. Right.
Yeah, a good, like, 3-4, like, glue guy that's going to produce for you still.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's going to go get buckets in college simply because he is good at his first step. Like,
he's got a motor.
Catches the ball, makes a little hesitation move or crossover, and just attacks the rim.
He's angry.
And he finishes in different ways. Like, he just doesn't dunk every time he touches the ball. Like, he has little scoop shots. He has, you know, little runners. Like, he can finish without dunking on somebody.
I feel bad for LaMelo Ball.
I do too. My Twitter mention solidified that today. Because I had the blog talking about, you know, recapping the game and everything like that. You know, and I put in there that LaMelo is a consensus top 20 pick or top 20 recruit in the class of 2019, which is true. Like, ESPN has him number 8, 24/7 has him like 18, and Rivals has him like 16 or something like that.
So here's I have not seen him play a full game yet. I've only seen highlights. And I'm not even going to talk about – I'm not saying I'm basing it off the highlights where he scored 80-whatever points or 90 or whatever it was. I'm basing it off some YouTube clips and highlights that I just watched against Zion. And he's got a level of smoothness in his game. He's got length.
He can shoot the ball.
But I'm saying he's known as a shooter.
Right.
But he impressed me going to the rim, using his length to finish.
Yeah, like he's 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah, he's got skill. He's not just a shooter.
Right, like he's a legit top 20 recruit. And, I mean, he's similar to Lonzo in the fact that they both aren't great with their handles. Like, they can improve their handles. It's pretty rudimentary. They can improve pick and roll.
Did I laugh when I watched the LaMelo Ball video when he was just clanking it and airballing? Yes, I did.
But you're a shooter. You're a shooter. You can appreciate those games where you're just off.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, don't get me wrong. I airballed. Bricked a couple. But
no, granted, it's over the course of a game, and it's also highlighted more because it's LaMelo.
Yeah, and he feels the pressure, so he shoots it from deeper. You know, he's done it in high school games where he hit the half court shots. Now, he forever feels like he has to live up to that expectation.
Right.
100% believe that.
Right. And everyone's like, that wasn't basketball. He just shot 1,000 shots and turned it over 10 times. I was like, actually, everyone who was there and who basketball opinion is knowledgeable and I respect was like, wow, LaMelo was actually like completely fine tonight. Like, played in the rhythm. I mean, he put up a couple bad shots, but wasn't forcing everything. Like, kind of just like kept his composure and played the game.
It's hard to do when LaVar's the dad.
Right, and the coach.
Dad and the coach. Did he get teed up?
Yeah, he got teed up last night.
It wouldn't be right if he didn't.
No, not at all.
I would have, I don't even know what I would have done if he would have took the team off the court like he did the other day. Did you hear about that? Obviously, he got teed up and was mad at the ref and said, "Let's go, big ballers, we out."
And they were winning.
And they were winning, and he left the game. How would it be for him to steal the show?
Right.
At that game where everyone's packed and LeBron got told not to come because the crowd was too big. You're attracting NBA talent to watch high school kids in an AAU game, and then that would have been the greatest LeVar Ball move of all time.
I mean, Gary Parrish had an article today about the game. He was there. He was talking to Steve Wojciechowski, obviously the head coach at Marquette, and Wojo was just like, I've never seen an environment like this. And that's pretty damn impressive. I don't care what your thoughts are on Williamson or LaMelo. The fact that Adidas sold out this place, had to, have the fire marshal come and all that stuff, that's damn impressive.
And I think he was probably more speaking to, the buzz.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the buzz of just the people talking, the video cameras out, all that.
Yeah, I mean, you had national writers there. I mean, it was streamed on Slam and Ball is Live. There was a Facebook stream. I mean, it was midnight Eastern when that game tipped off, and 80,000 people were watching it.
That's pretty good for a high school AAU basketball
game. Yeah. It's not like it was a final. It was just an AAU game.
Just an AAU game with two of the biggest social media stars that are more accomplished than you and I at 17 and 16 years old.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Derrick Rose.
Terrible. That's such a bad – I don't like the signing at all.
By Cleveland?
Yes.
Why?
Derrick Rose is a net negative. He doesn't really fit what Cleveland does or what Cleveland needs. I know everyone's sitting there and go, well, he averaged 18 last year for the Knicks. He's just not good. Their assist rate went down 10% with him on the court versus off the court. You're talking now a guy that's – let's face it, the Cavs don't sit Kyrie and LeBron at the same time. So you're talking now about him playing with Kyrie or LeBron. Yeah. He needs the ball in his hands. He's not great at cutting. He's not a good
shooter. He needs
the
ball in his hands and he doesn't distribute it.
Right. I don't like it at all for Cleveland.
I cried a little bit. I stumbled across some Derrick Rose highlights.
He used to be good.
He used to be unreal. And now, I don't really get it. I don't really get LeBron. Is this kind of a hey, I feel bad for you move?
No, I think they're just boys.
Hey, I felt bad that you were really, really good and won MVP and you were trying to get to the NBA championship. You ran into me every year and now I kind of feel bad. So come with me and let's see what we can do.
It could also be a little bit of a LeBron going, I can make anybody around me better. And he's already a guy that has talent.
Dude, that's a good point. And I will totally be Reek said it here first. LeBron took Derrick Rose. They're going to trade Kyrie Irving for I don't know who they're going to get, but it's going to be some average wing that's got potential. And he's going to take him to the finals again. And I'm just going to laugh. I'm just going to laugh.
But I think Kyrie, I got into a fight with this with the Celtics blogger at Barstool. He said the Cavs are fucked because the Suns weren't going to trade Josh Jackson and they're going to get 65 cents on the dollar for Kyrie. That's just so far from the truth.
65 cents on the dollar.
Yeah, no trade in the NBA is an even trade. It's impossible. But they're going to get
enough.
They're going to get enough, and they don't care about the future. They're in win-now mode. They're going to get people that can help them now. They don't care about loading up on picks or, young players.
They're going to need to very soon,
but
not today.
You don't worry about that until LeBron's not there.
Exactly, and LeBron...
It's still there for this year.
For sure, and it's all we can see into the future for.
Right.
Predictions on LeBron's way of announcing that he's leaving, if he leaves.
I think he comes back.
I didn't say that.
If he leaves, I think it's just going to be a...
He did. You think it's gonna be a tweet
or Players Tribune?
he did an article with SI, right?
It'll be Players Tribune. I mean, everything's on Players Tribune. You know what, LeBron, if you leave, announce it on – let me write your article on Barstool and then come on Fundamentally Sound and announce it here in person.
I'm game for that. Well, LeBron?
We'll clearly talk him up.
You are the most fundamentally sound player in the NBA.
Sure as hell is.
And I'm not joking here. This is not a joke. He is the most fundamentally sound player in the NBA. We are the Fundamentally Sound podcast. We are LeBron supporters, and we've backed him up through everything. Not because we're fanboys, just because we appreciate everything he brings to the game and how good he actually is. Come to us, please.
Yeah. But, like,
there's my plea.
I'll write the blog on Barstool, and then he can come on the podcast. How great would that be, announcing it via Barstool?
LeBron, come to Queen City Exchange.
Yeah, come to Queen City Exchange. All right, let's get out of here. This episode, not a lot going on in the basketball world. So this episode, you got a little bit of everything. Follow the show, Fundamentally SD. Subscribe on iTunes. Leave a review. We're really making a push to get to 100 reviews. We might do a giveaway for that. Making a push for 1,000 followers, might do a giveaway for that. Everything along those lines, you know, as we get ready towards the season. So what am I missing? Follow the show, subscribe.
No, you're not missing anything. You did pretty good.
Rate 5 stars, review. Be on the lookout for Queen City Exchange. Follow them. Follow Tommy. Follow Matt, our social media guy and editor. Ben, we'll be back next week.